So I would assume that y'all came here today not expecting to get a little language lesson in Russian. Haven't you always wanted to learn some Russian?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So I thought, as I was thinking through, like, how am I going to articulate what this story has meant to me and, like, what it's done to me and what it's taught me? And I, you know how pastors alliterate stuff. And I couldn't, like, think of anything like that, you know? And I thought, but I could do it in Russian. And so I thought that'd be kind of fun to teach y'all a little bit of Russian. But so I really wanted to, in thinking about applying the story to everyday life, one of the first things that I thought of was a story that I read through fairly recently, maybe several months ago, in reading through Acts. Who's reading chronologically? Who does that faithfully? So in this pass through, I was reading through Acts and Paul's letters incorporated in there, and Barnabas caught my attention in a way that he never, ever, ever had before. And so Barnabas is one of those guys who there's not a lot of drama surrounding Barnabas. And I think maybe that's why I have overlooked him all these years. He's kind of the sidekick. You know, he's just going along with Paul, and he's really helping Paul. And even in one of the cities that they're in, the city where they, Jackie may have to help me with the place and the people, but they want to sacrifice to him because Paul's the main guy, you know, and they ascribe mythological names to him. And so I had just kind of thought of Barnabas as somebody who, you know, he's not a major player. But this pass through in my reading, Barnabas really grabbed hold of my heart. And I decided that I wanted to be Barnabas when I grew up. And I think there, for me, in my recent, in the most recent pass through of Scripture, I don't think there's been anyone who has just lived their everyday life and made a huge impact on the world because they knew the story. And so we're just going to glean a little bit from the life of Barnabas, and hopefully we can talk about how it might relate to our lives too. But so I think that just like here in the beginning, no matter what season of life we find ourselves in, knowing God's story allows us to navigate our circumstances with a different perspective. A look into the life of Barnabas demonstrates how a focus on God's bigger story can have eternal consequences in the everyday of our lives. Now, like I said before, one of the things that I've noticed about Barnabas that I have kind of passed over him because of is, When we get to Barnabas in the story, there's no, like, vision, and there's no dream, and we are introduced to Barnabas at a time in the church when God is accompanying the gospel with visions and signs and wonders, and so we're kind of getting used to that in the story. You know, Peter gets this great vision, and it changes everything, and Paul gets knocked down on the road to Damascus. He gets blinded, and it's this. So we're kind of getting used to that in the narrative. You know, that's what happens. Well, Barnabas is a guy we meet, and his name is Joses. Like, Joses. And we never hear his name, Joses, again. But he's renamed Barnabas by his friends because that means the son of encouragement. So in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, we read, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, Barnabas was a Levite, and so being a Levite, he probably had rights to this land. This land has most likely been in his family for a very, very long time. How many of y'all grew up in the country? I grew up in the country, and my husband and I, how long has it been? 2 years ago. Basically sold everything. We moved to Russia, and we didn't own a house. We had not owned a house at that time, but we sold all of our earthly possessions, most of them, and moved to Russia. The only thing I have in this world is the land that my mama and father's house sits on. That is it. And that is the only earthly possession that means anything to me. So I would imagine that Barnabas was kind of like me. And he might not have, in his fleshly mind, thought, you know, I may need to hang on to this. He was willing to, as the church was growing and as they had need, the church was being the church, he was willing to sell that land. And just in the course of his everyday life, Barnabas made a huge decision that probably not only impacted his future, but the future of other people. I think that we begin to see Barnabas not just, you know, this when we're introduced to him. Like I said, this is not a vision or a dream or a sign or a wonder. Barnabas is simply appropriating faith in the everyday course of his life. He makes one decision that no doubt impacts people for eternity in some way, shape, or form. And I think our lives are a lot like that. Our everyday lives are full of potential opportunities, and many of those opportunities have eternal consequences. Number one, on bil gatov. That means that he was ready. Then Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 19, we read that it says, this is just immediately after Saul's conversion to Christianity. He becomes a follower of Christ. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? Yes, and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and he watched the gates day and night. To kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that Jesus, capital H, had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I think because Barnabas knew the story, he was able to discern what was going on in Paul's life when even the apostles weren't willing to. How many of us know people whose reputations precede them, and their infamy precedes them, and we put up a wall, and we don't want to make the effort? Not only do we not want to be intentional, we're nowhere near talking ourselves in to the work it's going to take to be in these people's lives. There was something about Barnabas. He was not satisfied to just let this guy go, because Barnabas knew of radical stories like Rahab. He knew of, because of the story, he knew that God's redemptive power could absolutely radically change somebody. If we're not discerning, if we don't know that kind of story of radical redemption, and we don't have it on our minds all the time, we could miss it. What would have happened if Paul had just gone on his merry way, Barnabas had not taken it upon himself? He might have said, you know what? I think I need to go sit down and have a cup of coffee with that guy. I really would like to hear his story. What if that had not happened, y'all? We're talking about a change of course of history. Mm-hmm. So knowing the story keeps us fresh on exactly what God can do. Jackie, I got to hear Jackie talk a little bit about Rahab. Man, whenever I hear that story, it just, like, something happens to me. Because this woman was a prostitute. And look what God does with her life. And that's the kind of discernment that we need when we see someone who is on those outer edges, who may not be like us. I'll tell you the story of at the beginning of this year, my husband and I started just really, we had finally reached a level of language where we could do a little bit more, get to know people a little bit more. We were working really hard on the language, and we had reached that level, and we were so excited. We were kind of like, I'm really underplaying it. We were really like lions in the cage. We were like, we've got to have a Bible study. And so right at the beginning of the year, we started praying and just saying, God, will you please allow us to have a Bible study in our home? We want to share what's been given to us. This is our passion. And we don't know how that's going to happen, but God, will you please? And so sure enough, God started answering prayers and blowing the doors open, you know, in our lives. And my husband, and part of his language learning was he would regularly get on this website called languageexchange.com, and it's where you know, nationals of other countries, they want to learn English, and so English speakers get on there and they want to learn their language, and so they practice with each other. It's great. And so that was one of the things that he used to let people know. He'd say, I'm learning Russian because I really want to tell the story of the Bible in Russian. Who wants to help me? We're going to start meeting in the food court at the mall on Tuesday nights. Who would like to come? So out of that invitation, God sent us two people. And the invitation was, it may not even been as spiritual as that. Two people show up that we know out of 15 million people living in Moscow, Russia, God sent them to us. And the woman who came, you know, we were, our first meeting, we were kind of getting to know each other. Y'all, this woman could not be any more different than me. She bleached blonde. She's kind of, you know, got her dress is a little bit, you know, she's rough. You know, and she spoke English about like I spoke Russian. It was like, so my name is Heather. And if you can imagine somebody speaking to you in English like that, that's how my Russian has been, you know, at the beginning of the year. And so, but we worked through, and now we regularly speak to one another in our own languages. Y'all, God sent this woman to me. She is so hungry for the word. And so our conversation exchange on Tuesday night has become, we pull out our Bibles. She gets her English Bible. I get my Russian Bible. And y'all, when we marched through the first four chapters of Genesis, and then she wanted to read chapter 5. And I don't know if y'all can think of chapter 5, but it's sort of like the Matthew 1 of Genesis. Like, it's the begats and the begats. It's boring, and we skip over it. We read every single sentence, and she wanted to know about every single lineage. I'm like, okay, next, you know. And why is this person the same name as this person? I'm like, well, they're probably not related. But y'all, if I had dismissed her, if I had said, you know what, this is really not going to be worth my time. She has blessed my socks off. She is so hungry for the word. And so I praise the Lord for Barnabas's discernment and what I have learned through him. And we really need to pay attention to those folks on the outer edges of our lives. And the folks who aren't like us. The folks who, you know, we all, you know, this is not a room full of women, but women, we know those women who are catty. Drama. Just, can't do it. But y'all, just like I've said this morning, every one of us needs to hear the story. We have got to stay in there and keep after it. It could make an eternal difference in somebody's life. Okay. On Bill Glavnim. He was principal he was foundational. He was a main guy. So once the church begins to grow, we see Barnabas being relied upon for a very big job. In Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19, it says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Now, Barnabas had a reputation, and we see that when we first meet him, because he has a name that we don't even remember, but they call him Barnabas because he's the son of encouragement. Barnabas had found himself to be very trustworthy. And when news of what was going on in Antioch reaches Jerusalem and the disciples hear about it, they send Barnabas out to find out what's going on. They trust his discernment so much that they want to know from him exactly what is the lay of the land. So now I don't know about y'all, but I have some really close friends who, how many of you are fortunate enough to have friends who you cannot see them for a long time, but when you do see them, you pick right back up where you left off? If you do, you're blessed. I've got some of those friends in my life, and some of them are in this room. I'm not going to cry. But, you know, living cross-culturally and moving away will you'll tie yourself up in knots real quick. I see nods. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Any kind of transition in life will challenge you to your very core. Your very identity can be challenged when you make a transition, small or big, like that. We decided to come home for vacation, and we decided several months ago, but as the months passed, and it got closer to June, by the end of May, we were like, And I had one thought on my mind. I have got to be with people who know the story. I have got to sit down with them. I need to hear what they have to say to me, because I know they're going to speak truth in my life. I know they are. And sure enough, I've had three different conversations with three different people. Y'all, immediately when they spoke the truth into my life, it was just like, you know, Paul tells Timothy, stir that up. Keep that, when I laid hands on you, you keep that gift stirred up. And that's what I consider from those women. They're keeping that gift that God, when God called us, you have the call, but it's the living out of everyday life where you're appropriating faith. So I needed these women to speak truth into my life, to be like, you know what? This is what's happening now, but this is what God is doing. This is what you think, but this is what God is doing. When we know the story, we're better able to look at a situation and see it for what it really is. And not, you know, Barnabas was able to look at that situation going on, and it was completely counterculture to everything that everybody else had been doing. This particular episode in the life of the church, from here on out, is what turns everything upside down. It is what gets Paul run out of almost every city he finds himself in. It's what gets him beaten to within an inch of his life more than one time. It is what he leaves everything for. He gives up everything for the sharing of the gospel with people who did not grow up hearing about it, with people who were on the outside, with people who may not have another chance. And so Barnabas is looking at this situation, and what does he say? Let's see if I can find it real quick. He says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encourage them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now, was Barnabas, was he thinking about what this might have done? He wasn't, because he knew this is exactly what God does. God does just stuff like this. I don't know, he might have been thinking about Daniel and the other guys who were taken out of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom and ushered off to Babylon. When they're in that hard situation, when nothing seems, you know, when it's real easy to look at things with the eye, nope. That's God does stuff in those situations. Because he knew the story, he was able to discern. Sometimes in the course of just our everyday lives, we need an eternal perspective. And knowing the story helps us. Okay, number three, Onbil Gordon. It means he was fit. He was fit. He was not fit in a physical way, but he was the fit person for the job. He was the right person for the job. The story makes us fit for anything. I want to be conscientious of our time. Can somebody give me a... Okay. In Acts chapter 13, beginning in chapter 1, chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now we know about Paul. We know from the beginning, God had told Paul what his life was going to be. You're going to stand in front of kings. You're going to proclaim my name and for Gentiles. Not many of us have that pleasure of knowing exactly what our whole life is going to be about. I mean, like, he knew that it was going to be rough. God would regularly appear to him and say, "Stay here." Well, maybe not regularly, but God appeared to Paul, and so not many of us have that. Barnabas didn't have that, but when the time came, Barnabas was ready. He was fit. He was the guy for the job to go with Paul, whom he had gone to get to join him in Antioch, where they stayed and waited until the Holy Spirit was ready. So all that time, Barnabas was working to be ready and was helping Paul work to be ready. And I think, you know, and once they leave, they, and you guys know the rest of the story, and so begins the missions right here. They leave, they both experience immense persecution. We know that Paul was beaten, but they end up coming back to Antioch and giving a report to the church there and staying there for some time. They go to Jerusalem, they visit with the disciples there, and they report to them everything that's going on. And Paul decides, you know, I think it's time to go back out again. And let's go revisit the churches that we started on the first journey. And so it's here that we begin to not hear of Barnabas anymore, because what happens? They part. They have a sharp disagreement. Barnabas really feels strongly about taking John Mark with them. John Mark accompanied them. And we know some things happened there. And John Mark, according to Paul, pretty much abandoned them. And Paul feels very strongly he doesn't want John Mark accompanying them, because he abandoned them on the first trip. Barnabas is so sure of John Mark that he is willing to part ways with his partner, with the guy who was so instrumental in his life. Barnabas was instrumental in Paul's life. Paul has become instrumental in Barnabas's life. They are truly partners in forging a path for the world to hear the gospel. But they separate. And they separate over a disagreement of training disciples. Barnabas wants to bring him. And we know from here on out, Barnabas gets no print. Luke goes with Paul, and he reports on Paul's activity and what the Holy Spirit is doing there, and we never hear from Barnabas again. And it almost seems like, and I think this was one of the reasons why I never really paid too much attention to Barnabas, because we almost were like, well, look, Barnabas made a bad choice. You know, look, you know, it's his fault. He should have stayed with Paul. But we don't hear about Barnabas anymore. But who do we hear about much, much later on? Who does Paul want? Who does he tell Timothy to send to him? What do you think Barnabas was doing in the everyday course of his life with John Mark? God was not finished with John Mark either. God, Paul, Barnabas probably did the same thing with John Mark that Barnabas did with Paul. You know what? Let's just see about that. Barnabas felt so strongly about it that he was willing to part ways with Paul. And so we see, even though we don't hear his name ever again, we see the evidence of his work in Paul's writing to Timothy, what we think might be the end of his life. He wants John Mark to accompany him. And I think, you know, what this story says to me about everyday life. Everyday life is not, you know, I may could ask you to raise your hands, but I'm not going to. How many of us have had visions? How many of us have had those moments where we have heard the Holy Spirit speak audibly? You know, maybe not many of us could raise our hands, but it's in the everyday life where we're appropriating faith. We've got to live it out, and we've got to know God's story so that in those everyday circumstances that we find ourselves in, when a friend comes to us and is broken and is like, I need some perspective, and boom, your story reminds me of Hannah.
Yes.
This is what happened with her. Boom. This is how Jesus behaved in that situation. And it literally, those words spoken into my life stirred up the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. We have got to stay on top of the story. We've got to know it so that we can be discerning. We've got to know it so that when those people come into our lives who are kind of on the outer edges of our worlds, we can have that discernment and say, nope, I think they're a little bit rough, but I think God might be at work in this person's life, and I'm going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to find out for myself. The apostles had said no to Paul. The apostles, the men who'd walked with Christ, but Barnabas said, nope, I'm going to go see for myself. And sometimes it takes that laser-sharp discernment. And then finally, we see the same thing, the same kind of character in Barnabas. He knows the story so well that he's willing to stick with John Mark. And he doesn't finish with him either. And John Mark is useful to Paul in ministry, no doubt, because of Barnabas' influence in his life. Mm-hmm. So I think as we watch Barnabas live out just the everyday stuff, nothing major, what an impact this guy had on eternity just simply because he was willing to do some things a little bit differently. And he had that discernment. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And I was dying to share that because Barnabas has had such an impact on me. I truly, truly, truly do now want to be just like him when I grow up. I think in watching him just in the normal course of events, just rely on what he has learned about God's character throughout the story and apply that. We see him doing great and mighty things for the kingdom.